You're listening to Ian Stone's Comedy Breakfast, the podcast edition. I'm here on Love Sport Radio every weekday morning at 6:30. This morning, joined by Jimmy Carter. Morning, Jim.
Good morning, Ian.
Morning. You all right?
Yes, very well, thank you.
Good. You know, I sort of left a pause there because I thought you were going to ask me how I was.
But you're always well.
No, I'm not always well, but thank you very much.
Bright
eyed
and bushy tailed all the time, Ian.
Right, well, I'm fine, thanks. I'm doing all right. Although the cab driver did ring the bell this morning at 5:10, which is not what is expected.
No.
He phoned up. I saw, as I woke up, the alarm went off. Actually, I woke up 1 minute before the alarm. So I looked at the, I'm sort of thinking, if it's 4 o'clock, I can go back to sleep. 4:59, right? I think, all right, I'm getting up. So I turn the alarm off. As I turn the alarm off, the phone starts going, but it's on silent. So I just see it flashing up. I think, all right, I know that's a cab driver. I'll fine. And then he rings the doorbell.
Wakes everyone up.
Well, he woke the dog up and he woke my missus up. My son could sleep through an earthquake, so that's going to be different. But he woke everyone else up. So I go out. I've got a towel on, just having had a shower.
Right.
And I open the door.
Right.
What the hell are you doing? What the hell? Well, I rang and you were, yeah. Well, I knew you were there. You're not meant to be picking me up for the next 10 minutes. So I had a little go at him.
Yeah.
But he took it well.
He took it all right.
He did, yeah. He apologised to me when I came out.
Yeah.
And so I had a little chat with my missus before I left because she was awake.
Oh, lovely.
And calmed the dog down. Anyway, that was this morning. Did you watch the World Cup last night, the Women's World Cup last night?
Yeah, I did, yes. A very, very good win for England.
I thought England were excellent. I thought they were really, really good, certainly for the first 55 minutes. And they played some lovely, lovely football. Japan can play as well.
Yeah, Japan, decent side. Lovely to see England go through. Three wins out of three, fantastic. I agree with you. First half, much better than the second half. Towards the end, tired a little bit. A bit more even in the second half, but yeah.
This was the second team as well. There were some first team players, but there were some reserves in there as well. So it does augur quite well because essentially they were saying this is the chance for them all to make their mark. And pretty much all of them stepped up.
Absolutely. Eight changes, I think it was, from the previous game. So, yeah, listen, Phil Neville's changing it around a little bit, getting everyone game time, which is important because that's going to be vital for coming into the later stages, especially if you get a few injuries as well. So, yeah, fantastic win and, nice two goals for Ellen White.
I thought the centre-halves, there's Steph Houghton. Who's the other girl? It's Millie Bright.
Yeah.
Played a 60-yard pass, crossfield pass, just pinged it across straight to the right fullback, bombing on.
Yeah.
And I thought, Vincent Kompany, that's what it looked like to me. Looked like the female Vincent Kompany. And I thought that, and obviously Steph Houghton has learnt from watching him at Man City, but it was impressive to see that. And they did like a maybe 15-pass move that really opened up the Japanese defence.
Yep.
And at the other end, the Japanese girl had a shot from 40 yards that was tipped onto the post by the goalkeeper. Yep. And I thought, they don't need bigger goals. Smaller goals.
No,
they don't need smaller goals.
I've said it all along. Ian, for me, bringing in smaller goals for the women's football would be a backward step. And I think if you speak to most of the professional players in the women's game and anyone associated with women's football, they don't really want to see it. You might get the odd person who goes, "Yeah, yes, make the goals smaller," but there's no need for that, in my opinion.
Well, there was one after the Thailand game the other week, right? When it was 13-0. Against the USA, and the goalkeeper was only 5'5", and the goal looked absolutely enormous, right? I mean, it did look absolutely enormous. But yesterday, I mean, yeah, it was a 40-yard shot from the Japanese woman, but was it Carly Telford in goal last night? It was. No, it was Karen Bardsley, wasn't it? Karen Bardsley made a great save. I mean, she covered a lot of ground to get across to it and then managed to tip it on. I mean, I said to my missus, we were watching the game and they lined up the free kick and I went, God, I tell you what, right? If she shoots and scores from here, this will bring another million viewers to the Women's World Cup instantly because you don't see 40-yard shots that often. And she walloped it, and it was a beaut right between the two big girls in the wall.
Yeah.
And I thought, my God, that's going in. And Barzy got across very, very well.
Hell of a strike. Yeah, and like you say, great save as well.
In the other game, in the Scotland game, I mean, I'm hearing that Scotland are 3-0 up and going, okay, they're cruising along and they're going to have to wait and see to see if they're one of the best losers. As it turned out, they completely ran out of legs and let in three in the last, 20 minutes or so.
That's it.
And obviously there was controversy, is that the right word, over the Argentina third goals, a penalty saved. But the truth is, it's not controversy. It isn't. We know the rule. The rule is if you haven't got a foot on the line, you retake the penalty. And the goalkeeper didn't have a foot on the line.
Well, once again, we're talking about VAR.
I don't mind talking about VAR. It's nice to have something to talk about this morning. Not a huge amount about.
No, listen, you know, 3-0 up, right? You're thinking, gosh, here we are. We're going to be in the last 16 as, you know, worst third place or whatever it is how they go through.
Yeah, but then that's the problem. If you're on the pitch and you're thinking that, that's what obviously happened, right?
Complacency probably set in and maybe a little bit of tiredness and maybe a little bit of naivety as well. Because at 3-0 up, you've got to see the game out. All about game management. And that's where Scotland will be very, very disappointed after being 3-0 up. They'll be waking up this morning thinking, gosh, we had a hell of a chance. And then, of course, at 3-2, you know, 90 minutes gone. You're now playing into injury time. You're probably even thinking then, you know, let's just see this game out.
Don't dive in.
For me, it's a definite pen.
Of course it was.
100% pen. Yeah.
And it's a definite retake as well, by the way.
It is a definite retake. By the letter of the law, you've got to stay on your line.
Yeah.
They'll be disappointed this morning.
We're going to have more discussions about this, about VAR and whether they should change things. We had quite a lively discussion in the office before we came in here this morning. And we'll certainly have that chat right now as things stand. That you can't do that. You can't jump forward. So I guess that is a retake. It does. It's a shame in a way. I heard the commentary on the radio, actually. I was in bed by then. I turned on the radio and I'm listening to the commentary. And the excitement, which then gave way to disappointment as they realised the penalty was going to be retaken. Yep. But as soon as people see the replay, as soon as you see the replay, that is the moment you go, she was off her line.
Yeah. Well, with all the excitement, it's going to come the flip side, which is going to be, at times, disappointment. And unfortunately for Scotland, that's where it panned out. But I completely agree. You know, letter of the law is, and she it wasn't just a yard, you know, the Scotland keeper did jump forward.
She was jumped forward. I'm not sure it was actually that far. I mean, interestingly enough, the headline, I'm looking at the Guardian front page, Scots out of World Cup after late collapse. And I think really that's the headline, that they were 3-0 up with 20 minutes to go. They should have cruised that. And the fact that it was a retaken penalty is neither here nor there, really. That's just the last act in a whole series of mistakes that they made.
Yeah, it's just adding to the misery, isn't it, in the nature in which you're going to go out the competition. You know, it's different if you know, 94th minute, girl beats three, four players, sticks it in the top corner. You're like, you know what? Well, you can't odds that. That's a lovely bit of quality. But to go out in that fashion so late after being 3-0 up was it'd be disappointing.
Scots love a bit of misery, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, it suits the character, World Cup and Scotland. I mean,
World Cup, but no, just generally, as it's a Scottish trait to enjoy the dour a little bit, I think. Wouldn't you say?
The Scots are used to it, aren't they?
Well, I mean, the weather's horrible and all the rest of it, but I don't know, I just think it works.
Great place, though, Scotland. I lived there for 9 years.
I'm not saying it's not a great place.
Love Scotland.
I never said, listen, this is not a competition to see who loves Scotland the most, all right?
Even though I know you love Scotland as well, Edinburgh.
I go up to the Edinburgh Festival on a regular basis, but that, you know what, it is Scotland, but really that's full of middle-class English people watching shows. But anyway.
This is Love Sport.
And Paris McAuliffe has entered the building.
I was always in the building.
You're always in the building. You've entered the room. Yeah, hello,
into
Paris.
The room. I like to let people know when I'm entering the room.
Okay.
By walking in.
Paris is here. That's what you announce generally. You don't do it.
Oh, no, I get someone to announce it for me.
Okay, that's nice.
That's how it works.
Yes. Yeah. Mr. and Lady McAuliffe. It should be Lord and Lady, shouldn't it? Anyway, what have we got?
It should be. Would you like to have Prince versus Fortnite?
What?
Prince Harry has had a pop at Fortnite, the most popular game. Basically saying it causes addiction. It's, you know, it's designed to keep you in front of the computer for as long as possible, and that's not healthy.
Mm. Okay. Sorry, I had a sip of coffee there. I thought it was going to be more of that.
Oh, no. Basically, that's the point.
It isn't healthy. No. It isn't, but you know what? People like doing it. It's not Fortnite, necessarily. It's computer gaming is what it is. Fortnite just happens to be the very popular one at the moment.
No, well, he's had a pop at this particular video game.
Right.
And basically they've said back that, you know, it's a mischaracterisation of the game, you know, it's just fun. And this
no, it's not.
Basically, he's got, you know...
massively addictive.
It's basically called it irresponsible. And the video
irresponsible of who? Sorry.
Well, the game is irresponsible. It's irresponsible perhaps for the game to be allowed to be made, perhaps even for parents to allow their children to play it, and for children to be allowed to play it.
It's a bit after the fact, all this. I mean, yeah, you know what? You're right. But, I mean, video games have been knocking about for years. God, marriages have been lost over Football Manager about 10, 15 years ago. Somebody I know went and did a whole show in Edinburgh about that. How his marriage actually broke up because he ended up playing Football Manager. But he was nuts. He used to get dressed in a suit for the cup final.
He's
right?
Overdone it.
He used to sit in his lounge in a suit. But, you know, that sort of stuff. And obviously it's crazy, but they are addictive, these games. And Fortnite is incredibly addictive. And I think the added thing about the fact that you can chat to your mates. So my son will be sat in the lounge. And all I'll hear is like bangs and crashes and my son going, Henry, Henry, behind you, Henry, no, not them, him. I hear that for like four hours at a time. Not so much in the last couple of years. He's moved on from that. They move on after a while. That's the point.
Right.
They do.
Eventually.
Okay. Have you ever been addicted to a video game?
FIFA was a bad one for me. There was a point at university where it was bad.
Yes.
I mean, it was FIFA... 18.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry, like FIFA 16. Yeah. And I reached, you know, career mode. I reached like the year 2029 and I'm thinking,
oof,
I might
that's
have gone
pretty
too
good.
Far here.
I'm 2022. I'm just up to 2022 now and the new one's coming out in about, 3 months' time?
Yeah.
I'll get nowhere near 2029. Yeah. That you really should have done more work on your... What did you get, a 2-2?
I got a 2-2.
Yeah, of course you did. Of course you did. Well done.
Yep.
I think your parents must have been so annoyed with you. If only he didn't play on computer games, Brian. I don't know why. Your dad is called Brian. I don't think
he is. No, he's not. No.
Okay.
I mean, if they're listening, this is the first time they found out about that. Okay. But anyway.
Okay. Confessions with Paris McAuliffe. Anyway, Prince Harry's not happy with Fortnite.
No, he's not happy with Fortnite. Right. Another story for you. If you're hopelessly devoted to Greece memorabilia, now is your time. You better shape up and get yourself down to Olivia Newton-John's charity auction.
Olivia Newton-John's having a charity auction, is she?
Yes, she's selling the iconic black leather jacket and skin-tight trousers she wore as Sandy in the cult musical.
Iconic.
That'd be weird buying them, I've got to be honest with you. I mean, she looked very good in them, I've got to be honest. She was squeezed very nicely into them, but...
Are you saying you wouldn't look as good in them?
I don't think they would quite... I'm a bit hippie, you see. I've got childbearing hips.
Right.
I have, so I'm not sure they would really fit. And leather trousers, I don't think any of those things, leather or I knew a guy who was quite into some of that, wearing that sort of plasticky leathery gear.
Yeah.
And he turned up in the full gear one time, and I thought, I don't even like wearing washing up gloves, to be honest with you, right? And he's got the full gear on. I don't think I'd like it very much, but these were leather, right? But it's not just those, it's other memorabilia as well, is it?
Yeah, other memorabilia. Of course, this particular memorabilia could fetch up to $200,000, which is £159,000.
Wow.
So very good.
Other items going include Miss Newton-John's original script from the musical
and
the pink gown she wore to the LA premiere of the film.
Outstanding. Love that movie. Do you like that movie? Greece?
Good
film. You ever seen Greece?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, well, oh, well, oh, well. I mean, we all know that.
Should we go?
No, we're not doing
that. What, 5 minutes before the news?
I was walking home drunk from a party and there was another party going on in some house and they were all singing the songs from Greece. They sounded like they were having so much fun. Through Hendon. I'll never forget that. It's a great movie. I went to see it at the ABC Golders Green when I was 16 or whenever it came out. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. It's a good film.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought of selling any of your memorabilia, Jimmy?
I haven't got much, actually. I gave so much away during my playing career. So when we get to the cup finals, Arsenal got to two in 93, won them both, incidentally. We got like 8 shirts each with the embroidered crest where, you know, commemorating the actual game. And I'd be sitting in an Indian restaurant, the waiter would come up and go, oh, have you got any like shirts? And I'd go to the boot of my car. Give him a shirt. But looking back, I wish I'd kept one or two.
I was going to say,
you know, I haven't got hardly any. I've got loads of photographs, and they're all on my wall, and obviously the medals, which are tucked away nicely somewhere safe. But
that's it. You could have been having a car boot sale of all the gear. Absolutely. Not car boot sale, whatever.
A charity auction.
Olivia Newton-John's going, have you got the trestle table, love?
Yeah.
laying out the leather trousers.
She has to sell something to make a profit because there's like a £5 fee to get in.
Of course.
You've got to make sure you sell something.
Anyway, I like that story. Give us another one.
Another one. Alexa could save your life if your heart stops.
Could it?
Smart speakers. Now devices such as Amazon Alexa and Google Home could potentially save your life.
Alexa, I'm dying. Call the ambulance.
The speakers,
sort of thing.
Sort of. They can be used to detect the sound of gasping for air.
Really? What if you're having sex? I'm just asking in a serious way.
Well, then you might have an audience very soon.
You might. The ambulance turns up. You're all right.
Yeah.
I'm fine, thank you very much. Yeah. It's not killed me just yet. I'm just saying.
Yeah, need help getting into position.
So if you're in the middle of it, like sex and that, and the Alexa goes, are you all right, Ian? Yes, I'm fine, thank you very much. Leave me alone. Put me off my stroke.
Do you have Alexa in your bedroom now, or is it just in the lounge in the kitchen?
That's a point, isn't it? Keep it out of the bedroom. Keep it out of the bedroom. Assuming that you always have sex in the bedroom. What if you have... Anyway, the point is...
Should we move away from this?
Please.
I'm just saying I can see issues. That's all.
Yeah, it can work through speakers. It's accurate 97% of the time at detecting agonal breathing, the guttural rasping breathing that occurs when the heart stops pumping.
Agonal and... What's it called?
Agonal.
Agonal?
You've made that up in your Paris.
A-G-O-N-A-L.
I've never even heard that word. No. Agonal breathing.
Yeah,
okay.
Breathing in agony.
I guess that's what it is.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So that's,
okay.
Yeah, 97%
if you come
accurate.
In from a run.
I don't know, does that count as agonal breathing?
Well, like,
your heart's going, though. I don't know if
if you're coming in, you're going... What if you're watching a scary film? There are a number of things where you might be having what they call agonal breathing.
Absolutely.
Alexa, keep calling the blooming ambulance service. I mean, they're under enough pressure as it is. I'm not again. I was just watching Nightmare on Elm Street. Leave me alone. That sort of stuff.
Maybe they wanted to watch as well.
Well, that's a possibility. All right. Anyway, it sounds like a good idea. I can see some issues, as I've just pointed out.
Teething problems.
Sex, running, horror movies. All the ones I've thought of. There's
that's Friday
more.
Night.
Anyway, thank you. Sorry, that was funnier than it. I deserve more of that, Jack.
Love sport.
Now, the Pogba paradox continues. It sounds like some sort of science fiction film. This morning, will he stay? Will he go? Yesterday, he was reported he was getting a £3.78 million loyalty bonus for his time at United. This is only 3 days after he said he fancied a new challenge. And we're still hearing he's angling for a move back to Juventus. Joining us now is the former Man United defender, Derek Brazil. Good morning, Derek.
Morning, Ian. Morning, Jimmy.
Good morning, Derek.
I'm glad you had Omar Ali on yesterday and thought, how can I follow that?
Jimmy
I'm
Carter.
I'm quite honoured, pal. I'm quite honoured.
It was nice to... I'd say the weirdest thing was we're talking about Michel Platini and this meeting he had with Nicolas Sarkozy, the Emir of Qatar, and Omar goes, oh, I know the Emir. It was absolutely hilarious. This is how we started the show and it sort of went from there. Let's have a chat about Paul Pogba. What's he up to? He wants to go, doesn't he?
Yeah, when you look at him, I think he's very clever. All right, or his agent's very clever, both of them. I think a lot of people, he wants to go, right? And he said that. But I think he's going on his terms. It's all about, it's the Paul Pogba show again. It's, you know, he turned up when he wanted to last year. He made rumblings about Real Madrid. Now he's in Tokyo and he's saying, you know, I want time for a new challenge. He hasn't even finished the challenge he's got now.
No.
Do you know what I mean? He will decide when he goes. That's the bad thing about it for me, is that long gone are the days that a club says, don't want you, and they sell you off. He will pull all the strings to this, and he shouldn't be like that.
Well, players shouldn't be bigger than the club, should they? But I suppose with commercial, with the way that the commercial side of the game is, he's got 26.5 million Instagram followers. He sells hundreds of millions of pounds worth of replica shirts. In the end, he's more valuable to United in that way than perhaps even on the pitch.
Yeah, but isn't that a sad indictment of how football has got?
Yeah.
I've got to be fair, it's, you know, you may have 26 million Instagram followers, but his Man United following is waning by the day.
Yeah.
And don't get me started on Jesse Lingard.
All right, we won't. Go on, Jimmy, you want to ask?
Yeah, Derek, I just want to...
I don't understand what he's doing. I mean, if I had a season like he's had, the last thing I'd be doing would be on Instagram doing what he's doing, he's an embarrassment to the club.
Yeah, no. Just, Derek, just want to ask you, obviously, Pogba, for me, he's had a very, very indifferent season, to call it that. Do you think, in your opinion, he's worth keeping, or is it time for really for Pogba to part ways with Manchester United?
I think it's time for him to go, to be honest. And because I think he's such a big character. You can't take that away from him. He's quite a bubbly character, but I think he has a negative influence on the likes of Rashford and Lingard and possibly some of the other younger ones, because they kind of see what he does is okay. Yeah. You know, that type of influence he has. And for me, instead of just knuckling down and getting on with, you know, doing things for Man United, get players in the air. You know, get, you know, the club have said they want him to stay, which, I mean, that Solskjaer said that, but get rid soon. I mean, the staff back in three weeks.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it needs to be done, but I fear that Paul Pogba and his agent are pulling the strings of when he goes, you know, and who he goes to.
Do you see any rhyme or reason in Manchester United's transfer policy? I mean, they seem to be in for pretty much everyone. I mean, they made a bid for me yesterday, but I'm obviously not available right now. I'm doing this gig for a little while. But, you know, they seem to be...
Well, Arsenal letting you go.
I know. I'm gutted, really. But in the end, you know, a move's a move. I sell a lot of replica shirts and I've got some game. No, you know what I mean, Derek? They seem to be in for pretty much everyone. There doesn't seem to be, oh, we need a fullback, so we'll go here. I mean, they are going for Wan-Bissaka, but they're going to pay through the nose for him. Do you see United getting back to their former glory anytime soon?
It's going to be hard, I think. If Solskjaer is in charge of signings, I think he's looking down the route of, right, we can't sign players who are nearing the 30 mark anymore. We've done that recently, you know, over the last few years, and it hasn't really worked out. I mean, the signing of Daniel James, I think that's a really good acquisition. I think if they do get Wan-Bissaka, that's that for me. You know, he could be the right back for the next 10 years.
Yes.
There's talk of Maddison, but then it is the silly season. It is, you know, they're linked to it. I mean, I looked at Sky Sports last night. They were linked with like 4 right backs.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But I don't know whether that's just a smokescreen for Palace to just accept their offer and get on with it. But I think it'll start moving in the next week or so, because I think once Lukaku goes, United need a player to go or 2 players to go, because then they start churning round. People start, right, well, we've shifted him out so we can get him in. So I imagine there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. I just hope we don't have a pre-season transfer thing like we did last year, which was a shambles, really, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was really.
There is some good news. Juan Mata signed a new contract till 2021. Daniel James has come in. Marcus Rashford is rumoured to be signing a new contract. There is some good news for United.
Yeah, I mean, it divided opinion yesterday. I think Mata, he's not going to start every game, but he never let the club down when he played last year and scored some valuable goals and made some valuable assists. And I think it's a good signing to have around the place. You can't just get rid of players. He's a positive influence. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen to Matic. I mean, there was talk of him going. But, you know, you get a fully fit Matic, then you've got a different player in your hands. You've also got the situation with David De Gea. I mean, what's happening with him? That's gone all quiet. So, and with the you know, they're going on tour in 3 or 4 weeks.
Wow.
It needs to be sorted. And I mean, what I would like, actually, would be to give you Martial. You can have him. Send him to Arsenal. And you can give us, who do you want to get rid of?
Well,
probably about 11.
You can have it. You can have any of them. Have any of them. Have 2 or 3. We don't mind, really, Derek.
Özil, have him.
Oh yeah, that's right.
There you go.
No.
Okay. I think he might.
No, I wouldn't take Özil. No, I would. No,
I think I think he'd work really well in tandem with Pogba.
Oh, can you imagine them two?
Yeah, and Alexis Sanchez as well, of course. Derek,
you could have him back as well.
Yeah. Do you know what? If he was fit and healthy, I would take him back, actually. That's an interesting one. If it was Alexis from when he turned up for you. but he obviously hasn't produced. Derek, no doubt we'll be speaking through the before the season starts. Nice to chat to you.
Good man, Derek.
Cheers, boys. Have a good day.
Cheers. The former Manchester United defender, Derek Brazil, talking about their rather scattergun approach. Sam Wallace wrote a piece in The Times today basically saying exactly that, that there doesn't seem to be any clear and coherent thinking as to what they want. When you see Man City and the way they work, they're going, right, we've got, this is the squad we've got, but we might need a bit of backup at right back. Who's the best one we can get? Mm-hmm. We'll get that one. Whereas Man United just go... Man United, the way that they're doing it, right, it sort of reminds me of when I used to go to discos when I was about 14. And I would be, essentially, there'd be a line of girls along the wall. And I'd just go, do you want to dance? No. How about you? Fancy? No. You?
So, scattergun.
Scattergun. Totally scattergun. Yeah.
Hoping that one would cultivate.
Hoping that one would say yes.
Yeah.
And yes. But that never happened. Well, rarely happened, I would say.
This is Love Sport.
Jimmy Carter here. Let's have the big debate. The big debate this morning is about VAR, as it will often be, I imagine, in the next few months and years. These things need sorting. Last night in the Scotland against Argentina game, the Scotland goalkeeper, well, what was her name, the Scotland goalkeeper? Actually, I don't even know what her name was. I'll have to have a look. Anyway, the Scotland keeper saved a penalty in the last minute for Scotland against Argentina, but... she had stepped maybe half a yard, I don't think it was much more than that, off her line, a couple of feet. And the referee ordered it to be retaken. Argentina scored 3-3, Scotland out of the World Cup. Not controversial, because those are the rules. First of all, Jimmy, do you agree with the rule about the penalties and they should stay on their line? Because that is the rule.
It is the rule. It's been the rule for many, many years.
And they're just enforcing the rule.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, back in the day, you know, goalkeepers would always tend to try and seek an advantage by gaining a yard. As soon as the attacker or the penalty taker, should we say, goes to strike the ball, they make that infringement and try and narrow down the angle to try and gain an advantage.
It was Lee Alexander, by the way, is the goalkeeper.
Yeah. Obviously, VAR, I mean, for me, the right decision was... taken last night with the Scotland goalkeeper having made that sort of infringement there.
The girls were told. They were told. I mean, they had been told in. They were told in March about this, so they had time to practice. They had time to work on what they're going to do.
Yeah, but as a goalkeeper, it's probably a natural instinct movement to try and, you know, you could be told
to jump forward.
To jump forward, you might, you know,
then start from behind the line.
That could be the thing. That could be what we need. We're going to start seeing. I mean. You know, VAR, it's you know, like it or loathe it, we know it's probably here to stay. There's a lot of negativity and a lot of bad things that we don't like about it. The, you know, when a forward's maybe slightly a toe.
We'll get to the offside. We'll get to the offside in a second. Can I just say, right, in terms of it is here to stay, during the World Cup, the Men's World Cup in Russia last year, there was a lot of talk about, if they're going to award a foul every time somebody's, a penalty every time someone's fouled in the box, we'll see 100 penalties a game. Mm-hmm. That's not what happened. What happened was we saw a couple of penalties given for England against Panama. I think there was one and possibly there were two. There might have been two. But anyway, that we saw penalties. But after a couple of days, people seeing that referees were giving decisions, they stopped fouling in the box. The way that... I hate the way that defenders don't even look at the ball coming over. All they're doing is looking at the forward.
Yeah.
Personally, I think you should have a penalty against you if you're not looking where the ball is, right? Yeah. If you foul an opponent and you're not looking, that means you're not concentrating on the game. That should be a penalty.
Yeah.
What happened was that teams adapted. They decided to defend properly. They defended in a zonal way or whatever it was, or they man-marked properly. Mm-hmm. And there weren't a rash of penalties. Yeah. There weren't. Yeah. Now, the one for me is the offside rule. Mm-hmm. I don't think the offside rule, I mean, you correct me if you think I'm wrong. I don't think the offside rule was designed so that if your toe is ahead of the defender, then you're offside.
Well, even if it's a toe, it's you're deemed as trying to gain an advantage. Well, clearly you're not. I mean, we go back to Holland versus England a couple of weeks ago, where
in Nations League,
Jesse Lingard scores a lovely goal, great little through ball from Ross Barkley.
Great move.
Nice little flick just prior to that. Raheem Sterling flicks it off to Barkley. Lovely little threaded pass from Barkley into Lingard. He is marginally offside.
He was.
You know, Ronald Koeman would argue if you spoke to him about it, and he would naturally say, if he's offside, he's offside, well, no matter how much offside he is.
I think that's fair enough. But do you think that it? Basically, we had a discussion before, and I was suggesting that what we should do is that it shouldn't be offside unless there is daylight between the players. So basically, what I'm saying is, let's say that Jesse Lingard had run ahead of the Dutch defender, but his heel. The back of his heel even was level with the Dutch defender, with the back of the Dutch defender's heel. Let's say they're going in opposite directions because the Dutch defender is trying to play him offside.
Yeah.
Lingard's motion is towards the goal. The defender's away from the goal. But if their heels are, there's a line and there's no daylight between them, to me, that is onside. That is onside. I'm just saying, you need a line, yeah. Right? You need a line to make a judgment, don't you?
It's going to come down to interpretation.
It doesn't in that sense. It doesn't. If you can see daylight between them, it's offside. If you can't, it's on. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, but the law as it stands in right now, as we speak, is even if your toe or your knee or your forehead is slightly in an advanced position, and
I see,
of course,
that.
It does seem a little bit ridiculous. Of course, what you're saying is it should be a clear offside. Before we give it.
I mean, the VAR was meant to be used for clear and obvious errors, right? That was the whole point, clear and obvious errors.
Yeah.
I don't think it's clear and obvious that Jesse Lingard is not essentially level with the Dutch defender in that particular case. So what I'm saying is you make it clear and obvious by saying daylight. It doesn't...
So we're talking about tweaking... Essentially,
rules get tweaked all the time. In the Women's World Cup, you're allowed to pass the ball out from a goal kick, and the player doesn't have to be outside the area. That is a rule tweak. Yeah. That's what it is. These tweaks happen all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, in the end, we had that whole thing with a 6-second rule. You have to kick the ball out within 6 seconds. Yeah. They don't enforce it. Mainly, they don't enforce it because most goalkeepers get on with it.
Yeah.
But and if they don't. There was a goalkeeper told off in the Women's World Cup the other day. In fact, yesterday, the Japanese goalkeeper, I think it was, wasting time after about 15 minutes. The referee went, stop that. Didn't, because it's sort of understood. But with the offside rule originally, it wasn't using technology. It was just the eye of the linesman, wasn't it?
Yes. Right? Yep.
Now, if it was just the eye of the linesman for that England goal a couple of weeks ago, that would have been onside.
It would have been onside without a shadow of
doubt. Without a shadow of a doubt.
No.
And no one, by the way, would have complained about that.
No.
Now we've got the technology. I don't think that Jesse Lingard's toe being slightly ahead, which is all it was, being slightly ahead of the Dutch defender... Because in the end, it's just motion towards or motion away, isn't it?
Yeah.
From the goal.
Yeah.
And I'm not so sure that's how it was meant to be.
And interesting, you know, if you see, I think it was Van Dijk who was the closest defender to Lingard. No, none of the Dutch defenders put their arm up for offside.
No.
So, you know, even the Dutch defenders thought that was a perfectly good goal.
Yeah. And
so that's how tight the margins are now.
And it spoils it for me, to be honest. It really does. I watched the derby against Southampton game in the FA Cup last year.
Mm.
Really beautiful move. A little step over and suddenly Derby are in and they score. And when it was disallowed, I turned the game off. And do you know what? You might think that's an overreaction, but you could see it in the studio as well that they also were like, well, that's a bit weird, isn't it? Because, it is offside, but it doesn't feel like an offside. Yeah. That's the point. And we all know what is and isn't, don't we?
Well, that's the thing as well. I mean, I think VAR is a good thing for certain things, but sometimes it's some of these decisions. I just think if you slow down something, you know, an incident... long enough and more times than not, you're gonna see discrepancies and fouls all over. If you slow something down, you're gonna get decisions like that. So
it's all part of the process of developing the technology and developing how we interpret the technology.
Yes.
But I'm suggesting that for offsides, maybe a bit of daylight between the players might not be a bad way to judge.
Love sports.
Paris has come in as well. Paris, you've got some stories from inside the papers.
Well, technically all the stories are from inside the papers. No. It's just inside the front pages, you'd
See,
say.
See, what you're doing is throwing that attitude that I give you back at me.
Yes.
And I understand that, and I appreciate it, Paris. All right, you're allowed. Okay?
I'm allowed.
Don't do it again.
Permitted.
Yeah, you are.
Okay,
one time.
What goes around comes around.
I see that, yeah.
Practically Newtonian.
What, Paris?
I've got a story for you that a hotel cleaner has quit, saying bosses banned her from sitting down during her breaks.
How ridiculous. How ridiculous. I mean, what was that about? Where's this...
A hotel in Blackpool.
Yeah.
Basically, she had 3 unpaid 10-minute breaks during her 6-hour shift.
She couldn't take a sit down.
And she wasn't allowed to sit down.
Well, she needed the loo.
Well, I suppose that's you've just found a loophole. And you just go sit on the toilet.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's what you do. But, right. I mean, it's not very nice to have to go and sit in the toilet cubicle for 10 minutes on your break.
Have a sandwich.
Have a sandwich. Exactly. Exactly.
Not quite the same, is it?
No, it isn't. I don't know. It seems a little churlish of the employers, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I do quite appreciate her sass, though. She sent them a card when she resigned, which was a card saying, "Sorry for your loss."
Right.
So she sent the hotel a card saying, "Sorry for your loss,
good.
I'm resigning."
Good. I hope she gets another job. Maybe an office job where she can sit down a bit more.
Yeah, I don't think she might be. I don't think she'll get a recommendation.
No, me. I don't think she will, but I don't see why. Listen, it's your break. You're allowed to do what you want on a break, aren't you?
Comes down to principle, doesn't it? I mean, if she's not allowed to sit down for 5 minutes, seems a bit harsh, doesn't it?
We're not talking about Victorian mill owners here, are we? It's a hotel in Blackpool in 2019. It's pathetic, really. What's the name of the hotel?
The name of the hotel written here is the Linden Hotel.
I'm not staying there.
But you haven't been to Blackpool. You're only booked for a gig.
No,
so.
But I'm not. If I go to Blackpool, I'm not staying at the Linden for that reason, because I think that's pathetic. Go on.
Anyway, moving
I'll
on.
I'll show them.
What are your thoughts on artificial intelligence?
I'm scared. What are my thoughts? I read a book called Rise of the Robots a few weeks ago. Very, very good book. And it talks about exactly that, about AI and how essentially none of us are going to have a job in the next 50 years.
I think it's like VAR. It's here to stay.
Yeah.
Here to stay.
It is.
Okay.
There will be controversies. AI controversies.
AI controversies.
Yeah, no. So why are you asking me?
I'm asking you that because more than half of Brits think robots and artificial intelligence are an evil force.
Well, because they're idiots then. And they're the ones who are going to lose their jobs, and they deserve to if they think that. What a ridiculous thing to say. AI is evil.
Have you not seen A Space Odyssey?
Yeah, you know, I have.
Open the pod bay doors,
that's
Al.
That's a film. I understand that AI... Listen, Stephen Hawking has talked about the dangers of AI, and I get that. And you know what? One has to be vigilant. But then it's not an evil force. It's just...
Have you seen Terminator?
Yes, I...
Paris, it could all go horribly wrong.
You've got to get a hat more, mate.
Yeah. Stop looking at films. This is Love Sport. Aaron Wan-Bissaka was one of the breakout stars of last season's Premier League, and despite scoring a bizarre injury time own goal for England under-21s, the right-back is being linked with a big money move away from Crystal Palace. Joining us now is the former Eagles striker, Neil Shipperley. Good morning, Neil.
Morning, chaps. All right.
Good morning, Neil. Great. I mean, if he does go to Man United, he could be their right-back for the next 10 years, couldn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it's not done yet. I'm right in saying, it's not done, I think.
Are you hopeful that he won't, by the way, Neil?
Do you know what? It's going to be mixed opinions, but for me, I think it's good business. I really do. For a right back that's played 42 appearances, I just think it's a great deal for the club, to be honest.
Yeah, it does feel that way. I understand, as long as they get a decent wage, and it sounds like 50 million quid might be. And what about for him personally? I mean, like you say, 42 games, we've been talking about inexperience this morning. We're talking about Frank Lampard possibly taking over at Chelsea after one season managing Derby. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, as good as he is, and my God, I saw him at Emirates last year, have Alex Iwobi in his pocket. He is very, very good. He's had one season.
Yeah, I mean, this is football at the moment. I mean, there's not a bidding war going in with this. It makes me think, like, obviously Man United is the club. No one else is coming in, so you're not going to have this bidding war. 50 million, 55, I think that's the fair deal. Fans ain't going to like this, but what they've got to realise is this kid could still be in the under-23s. He only come on the scene because we had no one else to play, right back, and he's come in and made that his own. He's a great player. But at the end of the day, it's a right back. It's not like a centre midfielder, centre forward. It's not like Wilf. It's a right back. And I think we've got a replacement in Joel Ward, who is not as good as Bissaka, but he can certainly play right back and do a job.
Yeah. Just going to say, Neil, obviously, we're talking about Wan-Bissaka right back. I think he started off as a winger, didn't he? Was only sort of pushed back into right back because he had to fill in or something. And now he's had a season under his belt. We're now talking about 55 million. It seems like quite crazy, doesn't it? Quite bizarre.
Yeah, and that's why the fans will have to just have a think about this and logically look at what's gone on here. You know what I mean? Credit has to be done for the youth system at Palace, because it's going to be a while since we've seen something like this again. It does happen every now and then, but for what we know, just over one season, to command a £50 million plus fee, if that happens, it's great for the club.
It just shows you, though, Neil, doesn't it, how the game's gone, isn't it? I mean, you know, back in the day, if you were going to get a massive move, you'd have to be showing, you know, great performances over two or three seasons. But now it's like seemingly you have half a season or a season, all of a sudden you're touted about as a £50-60 million player.
Well, I mean, back in the day, it was centre forwards. That was it, really. I mean, because they're the one that won your games. There was no talk of massive money for defenders and keepers. It really was just strikers, but it seems to be now, yeah. As kids, you wanted to be a striker. Now you might as well, you know, go and play left back or study that and make it your position, because it's not about centre forwards anymore.
Well, no, and if you look at, say, Liverpool stats last season, the most assists came from Andy Robertson and Trent Alexander-Arnold. So if Aaron Wan-Bissaka turns himself into one of those, you know, someone as good as one of those, then, you know, they are incredibly valuable. In terms of if they do sell Wan-Bissaka, obviously they're going to have to find a replacement. Is Wilf going to stay there then? Is Wilf Zaha going to stay at Palace?
I think there'd be uproar if Wilf goes and Bissaka, to be honest with the fans. I can understand this one, because I don't think Crystal Palace at the moment are a club who can turn down that money.
But for a right back.
Yeah, for a right back. I mean, Wilf, I thought it was going to be the other way around. I thought Wilf would go and then we'd keep Bissaka for another season. But the fact that this looks like it's going to get over the line, then I would imagine Wilf would stay. Because if he don't, I think the fans would, enough's enough. You know what I mean? You can't lose two big players like that, or unless we got something up our sleeve where we can go and buy some able replacements.
Yeah, and hey, if you sell Wilf for, say, 70 million quid, you'll have a large amount of money to spend. So it is a possibility. Where do you see Palace next season, assuming that one of them stays?
Well, I mean, it's keeping up the Joneses, as they say. I mean, people like the money that we're spending, it's not all about money, but I am a little bit concerned that we're not spending what we should do. I mean, it's amazing that Roy Hodgson gets a bit of stick every now and then. He's kept us in the Premier League now. If he does it again, with hardly spending any money, then, you know, I personally call him sir. You know, I mean, he really is, I think, doing a great job. Because all these clubs that are going to come up, they're going to be spending money. And if they spend it wisely enough, then, you know, for Palace to finish fourth from bottom again is going to be a success, I'm afraid. Sounds a bit negative.
No, Neil. I mean, it's the reality. If you're outside the top six or seven, and you know you're not, you haven't got the money of Wolves or Leicester. I think that is really how it goes at this point. And Neil, nice to speak to you.
Top man, Neil.
Take care, chat.
See
on,
you
mate.
Soon, former Palace striker. Neil Shipperley. I mean, that's the point, isn't it? It's not all about strikers anymore.
No, not at all.
And you know, if Trent Alexander-Arnold was put on the market, that's 100 million plus, isn't it? At that, for him. You know, that sort of level. And Wan-Bissaka is a couple of years behind him. Yeah. But, you know, the assists, the free kicks, the rest of it.
Yeah.
I mean, they are some of the most important players in the team at this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they're doing two jobs, aren't they? They're defending and attacking.
Yeah, no, take your point there. I think what the slight difference I would suggest is that obviously Wan-Bissaka hasn't at the moment got that in his armoury in terms of the delivery and the assist that a Robertson or Alexander-Arnold has at the moment.
But he's a tremendous player.
He's a tremendous player. He does have attacking qualities because, as I said before, he is a converted winger, and he's done absolutely brilliant at right back. What his forte is at the moment is the recovery tackle, isn't it? No one seems to get past him.
No.
Which is incredible.
And hey, it's not bad that a defender can defend, but does that mean that is he worth it? Because as you said, he's a right back, which, let's be fair, is the worst position on the pitch, right? Well, it's the position that it's easiest to replace.
Well, what you want from your defenders is the ability to actually defend.
Paris has just come in shaking his head. Do you used to play right back?
Yeah, right back.
Do you know what? Yeah. So was I, to be honest with you. But what I'm saying is, left back, well, they're a bit more unusual because they're left-footed and they're, you know...
Ooh, exotic.
Well, they are exotic. And all the other positions on the pitch are a little bit more difficult to replace. Right back, you can have like a tin of baked beans and do the job, you know, in the past. Not so much now, right?
Are you referring to me as a tin of baked beans?
No, I'm not. I'm saying it could do the same job. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, okay. What have you got?
From baked beans to sausage rolls.
Oh, we don't just throw this together, do we?
No, we don't. There's a flap over £150 fine for a gran who fed sausage roll to a pigeon. She was out with her daughter and two granddaughters in Bath. Sally Ann Fricker was enjoying a spot of shopping when a pigeon landed in front of her. She so broke off a corner of the sausage roll she was eating, threw it to the pigeon who flew off with it, and then an official comes across and says, that's £150 for littering.
Why? For littering?
For littering.
The pigeon had it.
Yeah, littering. You're throwing it on the floor.
She does a good deed, feeding the pigeon, and she gets fine.
Is feeding the pigeon a good deed, though?
No. Well, they are not rats with wings, aren't they?
Are we attracting the pigeons to Bath city centre?
What, the pigeon will go back to the other pigeon? No,
infestation.
Jimmy, the pigeon will go back to the other pigeons and say, hey, there's free sausage rolls available in Bath, and suddenly they'll
all
be
there. Bring his mates.
Yeah, that's how it goes. Yeah. This is ridiculous. I mean, who is this official, by the way? Is he like a he? I'm assuming it's a he.
It is a he in the picture. I think they've taken a picture of him, but... not named.
Should we name him and shame him? Bother him. Let's turn up outside his house.
Should we give him a name? I mean, just like, he hasn't got one on this.
Harold.
So has he just turned up? Yeah. Or was he hiding behind a tree just waiting for that little bit of sausage roll to go down?
He saw this old woman and thought, oh, this woman's trouble.
Was he lurking?
He was lurking.
That's what they do.
He spotted
loitering. Loitering with intent.
Well, basically, but I understand littering. I think, I hate littering. I hate it. It really bothers me. People throw stuff out the window of the car. I want to follow them back to their house.
Yeah, but Ian, is that littering? She hasn't put a lot of sausage roll to pee on the floor. She knows that the pigeon's going to peck it, and so it's
which
not on the floor.
Which is the point that I was about to make. That is it, exactly that. She did it just for the pigeon to take away.
Yes.
It gives like a takeaway sausage roll, but I don't know. It seems a little bit officious.
Is he proud of himself, this fella? So he goes home, tells his missus, how was your day? Arrested or apprehended.
Apprehended. Not even apprehended.
Whatever it is, the word is, I done
is the word.
An 80-year-old lady who was feeding a pigeon. I mean, come on.
Is she an 80-year-old lady, this woman?
She's a grandmother.
She's a grandmother.
Grandmother. Anyway, yeah. Bath is a very... Is this Bath, is it?
This is Bath.
It's a very tidy place.
Right. Very tidy. It is.
And that's and tidy because of people like this. Yeah. In the main, I agree with it. I think this is a little bit much. Because if... Let's just say, instead of throwing... The sausage roll down and the pigeon picking it up. The woman had kept the sausage roll in her hand and the pigeon had pecked it off her hand. That would not be littering, would it?
No.
It wouldn't. It couldn't be. But it was the fact that the sausage roll hit the ground.
Hit the ground. As soon as it hits the ground, that's it.
That's it. Yes. There are sensors underneath the pavement in Bath and it set off a little thing in his ear and he went, littering, and he was over there.
Littering zone A3.
Yeah, that. So, I don't know. It seems a little bit officious. But in the main, I like that people are being... fine for littering. I'm just not sure she deserved it.
Yeah, I mean, you say that basically they went home and the 3-year-old daughter of a granddaughter kind of went to the back garden and said, can we take down the bird feeder? I don't want you to get in trouble.
Birds will starve because of this officious man.
This official is causing the downturn of birds everywhere.
Downturn?
Downturn?
I know what you meant. You anyway, I mean. Go on then.
Anyway, from... pigeons to squirrels now. A story...
Also rats. Furry rats. Yeah. It's rodents we're talking about.
This one, a man has been accused of feeding methamphetamine to a caged squirrel to turn it into an attack animal.
Oh, no, that's awful. That is awful. Why are people so horrible to animals? I mean, you know what?
That's bad.
It's really bad. I mean, I've seen pictures lately of young kids punching cats and stuff like that. And you just... You know, you just think, I think they should be jailed and all the rest of it. And your revenge feelings kick in.
Yeah.
But what sort of person feeds meth to a squirrel or to any animal.
An American.
He's an American.
He's an American man in Athens, Alabama.
Yeah, that's outrageous.
Has he caught the squirrel and then fed it? I mean,
I was
and he saw a squirrel.
No, it was in. He caged it up, so it's in his house, and he's just kind of giving it methamphetamine.
That's just cruelty, isn't it?
Anyway, it is animal cruelty.
Good news.
I hope the squirrel attacks him.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, anyway, police have seized the squirrel after a long fight. Apparently, they needed several officers.
Yeah.
Anyway. If we don't like humans, a good thing is, apparently, people are saying the fall of humans is coming. Earth's population will shrink in the next few decades, according to Professor Chris Murray, head of the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation in the US.
Right. Why? Global warming?
Basically, he said, as women become better educated and gain access to birth control, they don't want to have as many children.
No, that's actually true, isn't it? That's true.
Well, of course, that goes against a UN report this week that warned numbers will swell from 7.7 billion to 10.9 by the end of this century.
Well, if current trends continue, that's what they're basing that on. Mm. Whereas this guy is saying, actually, once people generally are better educated, healthcare improves, so people don't have six children because one of them might die or two of them might die. Those things make a difference. They do. And education, certainly education, just to look at a bloke and go, no. No, I'm sorry, you're not suitable father material. Get away from me. That sort of stuff is useful, I think. Mm. So, it feels like a race. But it feels like a race, doesn't it, between current trends and women just basically being slightly more assertive and going, get your hands off of me, that sort of stuff.
Think of the planet.
Yeah, we do have to think of the planet. There are too many people.
Not tonight, love.
Thinking of the planet. It's not a bad excuse. Yeah, I mean... You know what? There are too many people. I think this is a good thing in the main. If this guy is right.
It's a big if. It's one man against the United Nations. The battle to end all battles.
Seems a bit unfair.
has he got kids?
I had no idea. Doesn't say. Does not say.
Seven. Yeah.
Love Sport.
Thanks for listening to the Ian Stone Comedy Breakfast Podcast Edition. I'm back every weekday morning, 6:30.